Ireland is definitely drinking differently. It's something I have certainly noticed. It is something I am definitely interested in, and I'm wondering if you are too. Like, do you remember that craft beer phase? Was it just a fad? All those whiskey distilleries, so many of them are now shutting their doors for good. And the nation's pubs, once our home from home, well, one in four of them have closed their doors over the last 20 years. So what is going on with our drinking habits? Are we all now embracing sober curiosity? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty, and today we're raising a glass to talking about change and asking questions like, are Irish people drinking less or just drinking differently? What role are high costs and legislation and global trade playing? And how is that Gen Z reshaping our attitudes to alcohol, reshaping nightlife? Because they, more than anybody, seem to be embracing sober curiosity. And could we finally be shaking off that reputation as Ireland, the land of the drinker? Susan Hayes Cullerton, the positive economist and presenter of Taking Stock here on News Talk, is back with us in the News Talk Daily studio. Good to have you here, Susan.
Good morning, Ciara. Thank you very much.
Susan, we have had here in Ireland a long, sometimes celebrated, sometimes lamented, sometimes mocked relationship with alcohol. But lately, it does feel like our love affair with the booze is hitting a kind of turbulent times. Are we actually, are there facts there to back up, or is it all anecdotal that we are drinking less?
No, there's facts there, definitely, Ciara. It is anecdotal as well. I think people can see it where it might be in the pub or by what people are drinking or where people are drinking at home, etc. But I'll give you some facts to get us started. First of all, people in Ireland are drinking a third less since the turn of the century. One in three people aren't drinking at all. Now, that's not to say that they don't drink ever, but would consider themselves not to drink at all. One in 15 beers consumed across the EU is now a non-alcoholic beer, and sales of zero alcoholic beer in Ireland has increased 25% in 2024. So no, the facts are there.
So this is a downward trend and is something we're seeing for 25 years, you're saying, since the turn of the century.
It is, yeah. And I think you can definitely see that, like, when you think of, say, the volume of people, let's say, in pubs. And of course, what people are drinking has changed as well. Beer is still the most popular, but we've seen a rise in wine. The other thing, of course, is the non-alcoholic or the proprietary mocktail. That certainly has had a big resurgence as well. But the other thing too, when we talk about trends that have happened over the past 25 years, like if you go back to the late 90s, that's actually when Ireland started drinking coffee outside of the home. Like, you probably remember, same as I do, you know, Maxwell House and the instant stuff in a jar. Whereas it's actually only in the late 90s was when people started drinking coffee outside of the house. By the way, Starbucks only came to Ireland in 2005. In the late 2010s, that was when one in three people were drinking coffee outside of the home. So there's a lot of different things that have been going on over the past 25 years that have influenced this trend.
When you look at the league tables, and there was always this league table of drinkers in Europe, and Ireland was always way above the European average, among the heaviest drinkers in Europe. Where does this sort of new attitude to alcohol put us?
Well, first of all, we're now at what they say is a moderate level. We now are at the same level as the average EU drinker. But what I think is very interesting about it, though, is that I think the attitude that continental Europe has often had to drinking has been like, we see people drinking wine at lunch in France and we say, like, OK, what's going on there? Or we might see a lot of beer drinkers in Germany, and particularly around Oktoberfest and everything else. Unfortunately, Ciara, Ireland has had the name of the binge drinker. And the thing is that 70% of the drinking that's done in Ireland is still done in binges. So we are drinking now at a more moderate level, for sure. But if we were to actually be drinking as per our drinking experiences in line with health guidelines, our consumption would actually drop another 35%. So it is a nuanced picture. Now, on the other hand as well, there's lots more things that people are doing today rather than just going to the pub. Gym culture has really increased. Like I was saying, coffee shop culture has taken on a lot of momentum. And then there's also sober curiosity, where people say, well, I still want to socialise, but I want to do it without the alcohol in the drink.
Okay, so what you're saying is the French go out and they drink their two glasses of beautiful white on a Friday afternoon. The Irish go out and drink their couple of glasses with lunch, but they're still out at dinner. That's the difference.
Kind of would be. Now, the French could be drinking it Monday afternoon as well. Like,
okay.
But the... It is, yeah. That element has changed, all right.
So are more and more people choosing sobriety, cutting alcohol out of their lifestyle completely, or are they just choosing to cut back?
A bit of both. If we were to look at the different demographics, what I find is interesting is that Gen Z, when we look at Gen Z, so that they are your people, say your like 18 plus age group up until their mid-ish 20s, around about 27% of those would say that they drink on a weekly basis. When you get to your 55 to 64 year old, they are actually drinking, they would say that about 65% of them drink on a weekly basis. So the younger demographic is drinking less frequently. Frequently, for sure. And partly that's driven by calories and understanding of, okay, this is actually something that can negatively affect their health on a week-to-week basis as opposed to the other connotations that we would have with alcohol. And then on the other hand, yeah, you do certainly have more people who are just saying, look, this isn't for me anymore. And again, that could be from a wellness point of view. That could be because maybe they've just said, you know, I'm hitting that grey area where drinking has become a bit more habitual than they might like. And then also there are other alternatives now as well, Ciara. Like, you know, there's places, there's bars now that are alcohol free, and there's a lot of really great non-alcoholic options. And then, as I say, there's mocktails and there's other different versions as well. So it's coming all round.
Are there economic pressures as well influencing our attitudes towards alcohol? It's simply just got too expensive to go out for a night and get a babysitter, get your taxi and buy six or seven drinks behind the bar.
Now, it's interesting the question you're asking me there sounds like when we talk about drinking outside the home, because that's a big trend that has changed. When we talk about economically, if we just look at a few secondary trends here, first of all, there's been a big drive towards more people working from home. So the pints after work culture has changed a bit. And, you know, I certainly find it when I'm talking to people. I run my own business, so I don't work in a big company. But that Thursday night drinks, you know, the Friday night, that culture of, should we go for one type of thing, that's changed since people are now on Teams or on Zoom. So that's one thing that has changed. But the other thing is, as you were saying about the babysitter, the taxi, the whole lot like that. A lot of people are saying, well, look, actually, I'm now going to have a bottle of wine at home instead. And if we look at the numbers there, when you look at the decline in the number of pub licences, that has actually been met and offset by the number of wine and alcohol off licences that have opened. So there has been a big change there as well, where people are actually opting in to choose to drink more from home than they were going out. And that has come from other economic ways. But there's no doubt about it, yeah, it's dearer. There's two things have driven that. One is minimum unit pricing, of course, that has had an impact. And the other thing is the cost of things has risen. Cost of raw materials, cost of staff, cost of everything.
Mm. There was a really interesting stat that I read looking at young people and their socialisation patterns. And it said in 2003, the in-person time with friends, so the face-to-face contact with your friends, was about 30 hours per month. It is now down to 10 hours per month. So people aren't meeting up face to face anymore in those environments where they might have had a drink.
Do you know, Ciara, I came across that as well. And first of all, when I saw that statistic, because that was based in the US, and I said, okay, maybe that's just there. And then I went looking. And it's the same in Canada. There was a study in Canada which said that over two decades, we'll say 20 years ago, 50% of people met with a friend every day. That is down now to 1 in 5. That is 20% of people meet with a friend every day. And also, if you think about it, again, just if we expand this a bit more broadly, think about what you can do at home when you're own now. Like Netflix, there is never not something on. Let's say there's a whole gaming culture as well. People tend to spend more time at home on their own. And when I say on their own, I don't mean just entirely isolated. I just mean as distinct to the need to go out to the social environment. That certainly is a big impact. And I'm not sure that that's the best thing for us as a society. Now, Ciara, I'm a total extrovert. I love people. I'm surrounded by people all the time. And I know that there's introverts who would look at the way in which I spend my life and say, my God, that's exhausting. This, I think, what you've just picked up on there, I think that is an underlying trend that affects an awful lot of things.
Yeah, it really caught my eye because I thought we're going to become more and more isolated. And actually, I think all of the research shows how important it is to have human connection, to have a strong group of friends right throughout your life. And if we're spending more and more time isolated at home gaming or watching television, then we're losing that really important influence in our lives. But maybe we're going off topic here. Well, it wouldn't be like us, Susan.
It wouldn't. But you know, there's another point here, and that is there's an irony in the fact that our phones make us more connected than ever to other people, and at the same same time, is it doing the opposite? Like, there's certainly people who spend 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day on their phone, and maybe some of that's spent on TikTok. Maybe that is spent on, like in my case, I'm on WhatsApp a lot with other people and so on like that. But it did that when I came across that research. I think there's something in that we need to watch as a society.
You've said on this podcast before that you enjoy a nice glass of wine when you're out in the evening for a meal or you meet up with friends. Have your own habits and attitudes towards alcohol changed?
Over the years, when I think about my attitude to alcohol, or maybe more so where I drink it, I have an interest in wine. I actually like learning about the grapes and the soil and the various other different elements like that. And I think that has actually influenced it where, to be honest, Ciara, I've gotten more picky. I won't drink it if I don't like it. I don't like beer at all. And I know I might offend people when I say this, but Ciara, I don't like gin at all. I have tried, like, I remember...
Beer, no gin. What is the point in getting out of bed?
Like, if I don't... So therefore, I would say what I have seen an increase in, and I would say this as a woman who travels a bit, because I do travel quite a bit on my own, I like the wine bar experience. I wouldn't go into a pub necessarily from one end of the year to the other. Now, if people were going there, like, I wouldn't instigate that. But a wine bar, I do like that. I like the cheese board that comes with it. I was in France and Belgium over the past couple of weeks. That's where I would go, let's say, rather than maybe go out for dinner. And I've no problem going to a restaurant at all on my own whatsoever. But that type of an experience, I do. I think I enjoy that more. But I will say that in my work with teenagers, years and years ago, we brought in somebody from Drink Aware to speak to them. And we didn't bring them in for any other reason apart from we thought it was a good idea at the time. And there was two pieces of advice they gave to that time to the teenagers that I very much took on board that has helped helped me keep an eye on just making sure that the habits that I have were healthy. And so she said, you should always remember two things. One is, why are you drinking? And if it is because I'm bored, because I'm lonely, because I'm sad, because I'm this, because I'm that, that is where it can go into an area, or if there's nothing happening. So she said, always question why you drink and make sure you're happy with the answer. And the second thing is, let's say you and I are going out this evening, we're going to go out and we're going to have a bottle of wine this evening, and let's say we end up having three instead. Then she said, make sure and ask yourself the next day, how did that happen? Was it that I was overly influential on you? Was it that the night took on a different character than we thought? And how do you feel about the reasons that that changed? Because what you intend to do versus what you end up doing, she said, you should question that. And that was advice she was giving to teenagers who were like 16, they were going to be moving into if they hadn't started already, but moving into being influenced by friends and so on. But I thought they were two great pieces of advice. You know, I've thought about that over the years as well from my perspective, and I think that's made sure that I keep on the right side.
Yeah, I was flicking through Instagram, as I tend to do in the evening, and an app popped up on my phone, and it was, could you be sober curious? Would you be interested in cutting down on alcohol, drinking a little bit less? And I don't drink an awful lot now, 43 years of age, 2 kids, and I just don't have the same interest that I would have when I was young. And I did download the app because I thought, this is something I'm definitely interested in. I'm definitely sober curious. I think I could potentially cut it out of my life, but maybe it might be something that I have on the odd occasion when I kind of fancy it. I think that mindset is out there too, isn't it?
I think so. And I the sober curiosity, I think, is appealing to a good few of us. Like, I like the idea of, I only like to say what I like to drink in the first place. So I have started exploring with, like, what sort of mocktails could I make myself so that if I was to be on a night out and, let's say, right, I just want to break, because particularly rounds can be very dangerous, and then you're keeping up at somebody else's pace. So, like, what could I do where maybe I might mix the sparkling water with a cordial or something else like that? That just, you're after having two or three, and they'd say, like, I'd like to go on this now for a while. That to me is sober curiosity, because what is it that I might like to drink on that night that doesn't involve alcohol? I think that's what sober curiosity is.
So you have definitely become a more discerning drinker. Yeah. You're more particular about what you drink, and we definitely saw that over the last decade too, because I think as people looked at alcohol in a slightly different light, they looked at what they were drinking and they were looking for something, perhaps. They got fussier, I think, about what they were drinking.
Oh, definitely gotten fussier. And
so we saw this explosion of craft beers and boutique whiskies, and they seem to be all the rage for a while. But I do see that more and more of those are closing. So what's happening in those businesses?
First of all, Ciara, like any business, costs have gone up. And whether that is the raw materials and like the businesses you're talking about there, they're goods. And of course, goods have gotten more expensive over the years. Also as well, of course, the cost of labour has gone up. And then there's the energy bills, of course, that have gone up. And the price level has been locked in, even though it's tailored off there a little bit. So that's one side on the cost side. But on the demand side, they're very, very crowded market spaces. Mm. When you think about gins or when you think about the craft beers, you have to work very, very hard. And I don't mean there's no shortage of effort in any of those businesses, I'm sure. But trying to change people's habits, trying to get shelf space in front of people, that really does make a difference. So it's tough. And also, so, like, there's been a lot of fashion trends, and I'm sure you've seen them as well. Go back to the gin that I don't drink. But like juniper berries and, you know, the goldfish bowl, that became all the rage. And in some ways still is. Alk Pops, do you remember those as well back? You should
I'm
see
pulling them. Pulling a face. No, I was never a fan. You're not meant to drink something that's blue.
Oh, we know what that is. But like when you think about what went through there, then there was the craft beers. I never liked that because I don't like beer anyway. So, and then of course, cocktails, Ciara. That's the other thing too is, but cocktails are dear. And I do think that we do see younger people, particularly younger women, choosing those because they like the taste of them. Now, again, they can be very strong and they also can be quite expensive as well. So what I'm just saying there is the costs go up, crowded marketplaces, and there can be trends that can be fashion sensitive.
Yeah, I saw Rye River Brewing saying that their costs had increased by 110% over 4 years and they simply couldn't sustain it. We also see other economic pressures hitting those industries, particularly the whiskey industry. You only have to think about the tariffs that have been introduced. Powers Court Distillery in receivership after a 25 million loan. Black Donkey cited 17% profit margins and licensing limits as unsustainable for small brewers. Where is the whiskey industry that used to be so important to Ireland? Where is that at now?
Well, last year, 410 million euros of exports went into the US from the in terms of the spirits industry. And when you're now facing a 15% tariff, like, you know, Ciara, there you just mentioned a 17% profit margin. Now, if you introduce 15% tariff into that, the company isn't paying it, but the importer is. So therefore, if it is that they then have to compete, well, then you say, okay, well, do we put up our prices by 15% into the US? And you're now dealing with a weaker dollar as well. That really, really hits. So then the company then says, okay, well, look, maybe we should swallow some of that. And then you've added in all of the other costs as well along the way. It's very, very hard to compete there. And that just sometimes poses a challenge that can be too much. Again, in Ireland, like I remember back in the day when it used to be Paddy Powers and Jameson, they were the three whiskey brands that you would see. Now, of course, there's so many more. You now see Teelings and they have any type of a price point that you go up to. Jameson as well has introduced a range of those. But I will come back to the point at all together now. I interviewed Oscar Pearson, who works as head of brand for Jameson in Ireland, and he too says that there's two big trends today when it comes to spirits. One again is having a proprietary mocktail, of which actually Jameson doesn't. He just mentioned that they had come up with their own version of that that doesn't involve a Jameson product at all. And the second thing is the lower alcohol content. I was noticing as well, like the White Claw, you know, the West Coast Cooler, that's what a lot of people around that age group were looking for. And of course, whiskey and a spirit has quite a high concentration.
So you need to diversify and you need to adapt. Mm-hmm. The licensing laws here in this country too must be affecting our drinking culture because they are pretty arcane. We spoke on the podcast only on Friday about nights out in Dublin and City and right across the country, how limited they are because of our strict licensing laws. How much are they hurting pubs and breweries, do you think?
When we look at the pub, if we focus on that, I mean, I interviewed somebody from the Vintners Association on my own show a couple of weeks ago, and they were pointing out like the excise duty in Ireland is at the highest level in Europe for a start, and that was based on 2024. But the second thing as well is, and they're looking for a 10% cut in excise duty. But if you were to just, we'll go back to France again, we both seem to like talking about there, but if you look at, let's say, the excise duty in wine in Ireland, and the excise duty of wine in France, Ireland is 80 times higher. So the amount of tax that the government is taking on that unit, of course, is quite significant. The second thing, of course, is that, you know, there has been an increase in the cost of when you're looking at from a labour point of view, when it comes to people working in a pub. And do you remember when there was, you know, the whole idea was touted there about, you know, extending licensing laws and like nightclubs going on until six in the morning? How are you going to get staff to work for those? So this is the challenge that is being faced there. So pub culture in general, we've seen one in four pubs close since 2005. And in this order, it's been particularly acute in Limerick, followed by Offaly and Cork. Less so in Dublin. There's only been about 2% of pubs that have closed in Dublin. So the space in which people are going to socialise in terms of the pub, they're right up against it with the challenges, yeah.
Look into your crystal ball for me there, your wine glass, your champagne flute, whatever it is that you're using, Susan. Will pubs and craft breweries and small distilleries survive, or do you think this real generational, cultural, economic shift in our attitudes to alcohol is here to stay?
Oh, I would say the attitudes that we have now are here to stay, I would say. So I think if you were to go back to where we were kind of pre the coffee shop, where the pub was at the centre of the community, where people were drinking in pubs more, I think the shift towards wellness, the shift towards more so people enjoying what they're enjoying more so at home, I think that's certainly there to stay. I think though also, Ciara, I think the binge drinking culture in Ireland, I that's sticking. That is sticking around. And then I do also think as well, when you look at it, where people choose to socialise is changing. But that point about where people are spending less time with their friends, that's the one really to watch, because I think that has a ripple effect on them all. So I think the trends we've seen over the past 25 years, do I think they'll change as much in the next 25? I don't. I think they're, you know, they're quite secular, and they're also driven by a lot of both social and economic factors as well. But certainly they are one to watch. And I think overall, in many cases, those habits have gotten healthier.
Susan Hayes Cullerton, thanks for your time as always.
Pleasure as ever, Ciara. Thank you.
Well, don't forget to tune into Taking Stock on Newstalk on Sunday morning. It airs at 9 a.m. or at any time on the Go Loud player. Well, this is a subject I would actually love to hear from you at home on. Have you changed your attitude to alcohol? Have you changed your drinking habits? And if so, why? Maybe you're flirting with the idea of sober life, or you're sober curious, or perhaps you're just relieved that after flirting with craft beers and fancy gins, we're going back to basics. Drop me an email, newstalkdaily@newstalk.com, or you can always get me on Instagram, official Ciara D. Would love to hear from you. Right, closing time here on Newstalk Daily. We'll be open for business again first thing tomorrow morning. Until then, sláinte.